sound. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Rand Sparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope you're having a good day. Talking today with Paul Shemp, who's joining us in studio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. It's a December in southern Illinois. We don't have any snow on the ground yet or anything like that. So, we had some severe weather coming through a few days ago, but all in all, things are good. Happy to be in the 618 area code today.
Kind of typical of the last 5-10 years of December's here, where it might be 70 one day and 32 the next day.
My favorite thing is with the varied weather, what I always hope for is like when we get in the spring. If you get kind of to the mid spring, I hope for like a warm spell that gets the bugs to come out, and then like a cold snap to like kill them all. So that's what I'm always hoping for. But it's kind of I'm running for governor, and it's right now is the time where we're still going and doing some events, but we're getting ready to shut it down really for the holidays. Which is good. My family needs some time to kind of recharge, reset, and then we're really going to be hitting it hard in January. So we can talk about that a little bit later in the program, and I'll explain kind of where we're at in the campaign and what I expect the campaign in the spring to be about.
All right, great. I'll tell you what, we'll take a commercial break here and we'll come back and we'll jump right in. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. 9:34, welcome back. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff, again talking today with Paul Shemp, and the Christmas season. So in politics in general usually kind of calms down, kind of slides into the background here this time of year. So holidays take front stage.
I remember when I first got involved in politics, which I'm, for those of you that are listening to this for the first time, if you haven't heard me speak before, I'm the furthest thing from a career politician. I spent my adult life in the United States Marine Corps. I was an infantry officer and then a prosecutor. I got out of the Marine Corps in 2013 and, brought my family back home to Monroe County, where we live now. But my first foray into politics was I came back and decided, our state needs somebody who is a qualified outsider to come into the Illinois Attorney General's office and clean up corruption. Mm-hmm. Somebody that doesn't have any family connections, somebody that doesn't owe anybody any political favors. So that was my first foray into politics. I ran for Illinois Attorney General in 2014, and I was not recruited by the Republican Party. It was completely a grassroots campaign. If you can just imagine, somebody showing up at Republican events uninvited and saying, hey, I'm a former Marine Corps prosecutor. I worked the Saddam Hussein trial in Iraq. I, want to make the Illinois Attorney General's office be a means of fighting government corruption. And then I got that nomination, but it was a learning experience. And one of the things that I learned was, you get to the holidays and everything just shuts down for 2 weeks. And that was, You know, that was a fiercely contested governor primary that year. The governor primary for the 14 election was, you had Bruce Rauner, you know, who was an outsider running against three former state senators, Bill Brady, Kirk Dillard, and Dan Rutherford. Mm-hmm. So that was a fiercely contested primary, but it was interesting. It, you know, we got up to the holidays, and then everything shut down for 2 weeks, which was nice, and then everything, you know, started back up with a vengeance. So that's what's going to happen this year. You know, I'm going to be headed up to the Chicago region tomorrow. I have an event in Kane County on Wednesday night. I'm also going to be the keynote speaker at a wreath laying ceremony in Danville on Saturday morning. So we're still doing some events, but I'm trying to spend some time with my family. I've got my boys are 14 and almost 16. So, you know, we're trying to spend some family time now, because after the holidays, come January, that's when things are really going to be taking off. I have a tremendous lieutenant governor running mate locked in. This is an individual that I've had locked in. I've told some other people, I'm not going to name the name here today, but I will, you know, I have told some mm-hmm. people, this is a woman from the Chicago suburbs who has some experience in politics. She is on the same political wavelength that I am in terms of, you know, we need to be talking about solutions and ideas that can unify our state. You know, outrage isn't going to bring our state together. Outrage is not going to solve our problems, and outrage certainly is not going to beat J.B. Pritzker. I mean, the Democrats, you know, I've always, to some extent, I always thought Fox News was kind of a plant that the Democrats used to try to get Republicans to just be outraged and sit at home and, you know, yell at the TV. Mm-hmm. You know, because outrage does not win elections. You know, you have to win elections by bringing people together. And when, you know, when I ran against Sheila Simon for the Illinois Senate seat here in 2016, really, we were, you know, our campaign understood that, look, you want to win in Illinois against a Democrat who has a funding advantage mm-hmm. against you. And Sheila had significantly more resources than we had in that race. You have to one, you know, tell voters the truth. I mean, that's always a good idea. You know, that's always the way it should be. But if, you know, the other side has more money than you and you're not being honest, you know, they are going to expose you, you know? So that's why I say, tell people the truth. It's both the right thing to do, but it's also, if the other side has more money, it's the practical thing as well. But you tell the truth, don't be toxic, and then talk about the things that unite us. Don't talk mm-hmm. about the things that divide us. That's my little, you know, if you're an aspiring candidate out there and want you know, want Paul Shim's how to win elections 101, that's the three things: tell the truth, don't be toxic, and talk about the things that unite us as a people. You know, I'm, you know, a difference between me and all the other candidates that are running for governor right now is I go after J.B. Pritzker pretty hard. You've heard me talk on this show a lot about J.B. Pritzker's failings and the Pritzker leadership deficit and what it's doing to our state. But as somebody who dealt with an actual evil dictator in Iraq, when I worked the Saddam trial in Iraq, having dealt with somebody that is an evil dictator, I know what that is. You know, and you will not hear me describe J.B. Pritzker is evil. You will not hear me call him a tyrant or a dictator, because, you know, different place on the political spectrum mm-hmm. from me, and he makes my blood boil with what he does politically. But he is a fellow American, a fellow Illinoisan, and we have to be able to talk to each other. You know, you can't demonize somebody because they have different politics. You have to, at the end of the day, you know, we have to be able to come together. And if, you know, if you're looking for a candidate that's going to talk about, you know, civil war and, you know, that kind of, you know, that level of division, I'm not your guy. you know, and there's other people that you can get behind, but not me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said, I mean, you're going to get more accomplished by bringing people together than dividing them up.
No, yeah, absolutely. You have to, you know, if you're going to change the course that our, change the trajectory that our state is on right now, our problems, you know, the magnitude of the challenges our state faces are such that we cannot solve them with just one party. I mean, you have to be able to bring people together. You have to talk about, you know, the issues that unite us. And, you know, we've done that so far on the campaign. We're going to continue to be doing it. When I, you know, back at the beginning of June, I proposed an Illinois Parents Bill of Rights. But it was the, you know, it was premised on the idea that it should be parents, not the government, that determine their kids' education, health care, and maturity into adulthood. And the thing that's good about that is it's not a Republican parents' bill of rights. It's not a, you know, Christian parents' bill of rights. You know, that's an American value, that parents should make those decisions. So the idea that we need to reset and rebalance and give, you know, restore the proper balance between parents and the government, that's something that's going to get us a lot of crossover votes. You know, I think we're also going to be talking in the new year, you know, about how to end some of the predatory government practices. We've talked a lot, you and I, over the year about how frustrated I am that the state of Illinois charges sales tax on the purchase of gasoline. The idea that, you know, you're paying not only the gasoline, but then you're paying federal gas tax, you're paying state gas tax, you're paying local gas tax. And then after all of that, then the state of Illinois comes back for a second bite at the apple and charges sales tax on that whole aggregate amount. So you're being charged tax on the tax that you pay, which I think charging tax on tax is obscene. One of the things that we're proposing is a amendment to the Illinois Constitution that just says no unit of government, you know, can charge a tax on tax. You know, if you want to charge sales tax on the motor fuel itself, you know, go for it. But you shouldn't be able to charge sales tax on the taxes that are being charged on the entire aggregate amount.
You know.
Yeah, this country was founded on the principle that taxation without representation is tyranny. You know, I would say, you know, we need to add that, you know, taxation of tax is obscene. And that's something that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about, you know, the idea that, you know, we need to have government consolidation in Illinois. Nobody right now even knows how many units of government there are in Illinois. There's at least 7,000. But if you talk to some people, you know, they will say it's over 8,000. It's just nobody, you know, that nobody even knows exactly how many units of government we have in Illinois. And that's a problem, because you have all these different units that are levying taxes, but you also have all these different units of government that have employees and that are going into the overall administrative burden that our state faces. So consolidation is something that we're going to be talking a lot about in the upcoming year. You know, right now no other campaign is talking about that at all. It's really going to be the voters in Illinois. You know, we're going to give the voters a choice. You know, what do you want? Do you want solutions that can unify our state and move us in the correct direction, or do you just want outrage that's going to further divide us and not get anything done?
Yeah, true. All right, I'll tell you what. It's about time here. We'll go ahead and throw our next break in here, and we'll come back and talk some more with Paul Shemp here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. It is 9:51 here. We're talking with Paul Shemp this morning here on the People Speak, and talking about different aspects of it. One thing, obviously, and that's a change this year too, is the date for the primary in Illinois.
Right. You know, usually we have our primaries in March. But the Illinois General Assembly pushed the date of our primary election back until the end of June. The reason that they gave for doing that was because we weren't going to have the legislative and congressional maps finalized in time to circulate petitions. Ordinarily, the way it works is you start circulating petitions in September. Mm-hmm. You turn the petitions into the State Board of Elections at the beginning of December, and then, you know, the election is in March. So mm-hmm. you have four months, you know, to campaign after petitions get turned in, because that's really when you know who in fact the candidates are. You know, right. You have a lot of people that are running that have said they are running, but until you turn in the petitions, you're not officially a candidate. And, you know, we've seen it happen many times where people say that they're running and then they can't get the signatures to get on the ballot, which takes a little bit of work.
True.
Or if they aren't able to follow directions properly and they have the wrong type of petition in place, you know, they get their signatures tossed out and then they don't make the ballot either.
Mm-hmm.
So until people have the proper petitions turned in, you don't really know who's running. So because we didn't have maps in time to start circulating petitions in September, the Illinois General Assembly wound up moving back the primary election from March until the end of June. So the date that you're going to be able to vote for me for Illinois governor in the Illinois Republican Party primary, that's going to be June 28th. That's when the primary election is. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, a good 6.5 months down the road. We've got a lot of time left to campaign. And really what's been done up to this point is it's the equivalent of a preseason football game. You know, the only people that are paying attention are like the diehard fans. Nobody pays attention to preseason football usually unless you're like just a diehard fan. That analogy kind of works for the for politics as well. You know, most people have not been paying attention yet. So that's why we have not made our lieutenant governor running mate announcement yet. I have a really great lieutenant governor running mate candidate locked in. I've had her locked in since the very beginning of November. I had a talk with her and she agreed that she, you know, wanted to be on the team, you know, to change our state for the better. So I've had her locked in since the beginning of November, but we decided not to make that announcement until after the holidays. So we will be announcing our lieutenant governor candidate the week of January 10th because we have to have the maximum media coverage that we can get out of this. You know, all the candidates running for Illinois governor have different strengths and weaknesses. You know, probably the biggest weakness that I have is I'm not independently wealthy. I'm not, you know, I don't have the ability to write a $250,000 check to my campaign like my competitors do. My parents were school teachers, and then I spent my adult life in the Marine Corps. So, you know, it was very rewarding and it was financially secure, but I don't have that huge trust fund that I can dip into. So because of that, because we don't have, you know, the money to really promote this on our own, we have to try to get the maximum media splash that we can get. We have to get the absolute, you know, the most media coverage possible of our lieutenant governor announcement. And in talking to the communications professionals, the people that do this for a living, they said, look, if you want people to pay attention and you want them to cover this, do not announce until after the holidays. So right. That's why we're not going to be making the announcement until January 11th, even though, you know, we had our lieutenant governor candidate locked in really on November 1st. So we'll be making that announcement on January 11th. And then we can start circulating petitions to get those signatures that we need to get on the ballot. The first day to do that is January 13th. So that'll be coming up after the holidays. And in Illinois, and this was changed, you know, in recent years, but in Illinois, you cannot vote for a standalone lieutenant governor candidate. You cannot say, oh, I'm going to vote for this person for governor, and then there's somebody, you know, I'm going to vote for somebody from a different party for lieutenant governor. It doesn't work like that. In Illinois, it's really kind of just like it is on the national level for president, where the president and the vice president run together. In Illinois, the governor and the lieutenant governor candidates, you know, run together as a team.
Right.
But what that means is, you know, you can't circulate petitions unless you, you know, have somebody to run with you. It's not a case of where, you know, we see who's going to win the primary election and then they pick somebody after that. It's you have to announce your lieutenant governor candidate and you run through the primary as a team. So we'll be announcing my lieutenant governor running mate on January 11th, and then we'll start circulating petitions on January 13th. The number of petitions that you have to have in order to get on the ballot is you have to have a minimum of 3,500 signatures, and then the maximum that you can turn in is 6,500. So it's 3,250 is the minimum amount of signatures that you have to turn in to get on the ballot, and then the maximum you can turn in is double that, which is 6,500. And, you know, as a candidate, you always want to turn in the maximum amount of signatures possible, because that way you're not going to get challenged. If you say, if you turn in the minimum number of signatures and there's a problem, you know, then all of a sudden you don't make the ballot. So
right.
That's how things are going to be shaping up. It's going to be a busy new year, and you know, you'll be seeing us, you know, second half of January, you know, in the area circulating petitions. I need help to get on the ballot, and you know, definitely appreciate anybody that's willing to sign to help out.
All right. So probably won't get a chance to talk with you in January, but hopefully in February. And
so this is the last time we'll talk before the holiday. So want to wish everybody a merry and blessed Christmas, and hopefully you have a great new year as well, and look forward to talking to you again in February of 2022.
All right, you have a merry Christmas as well.
Thanks, Jeff.
For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you tomorrow.